he was saying that you decided to go on this blind date. You had never been on one before.
And so, and the event was a movie over at the port of embarkation at their theater. And this was all Army personnel. Now, up to now, I'd been used to Navy. Not too many of the enlisted or of the military, except my husband and his shipmates and so on. Mm-hmm. Because at the shipyard, you see, in those days, though, of course, at the USO, there were lots of military, but that was a different atmosphere. And I never, at any rate. But I'd never met anybody Army before. Mm-hmm. And so Valerie picked me up. She and her husband. I met her husband for the first time that evening. Mm-hmm. And they took me over to the theater, and Dick was there. And Dick was an Army captain, and he was the, how do you say it? He was the, I'll think of his title. But at any rate, he was like the head of the security police for the Army. Mm-hmm. And, but he was very a handsome man and looked lovely in his uniform. And so we went to this theater. It was kind of a, in those days they built temporary buildings. They were wooden and so on. He was very nice, very, very nice person. Very courteous, very polite. And so we started dating. And I married Dick. Mm-hmm. And
what was his last name?
Whittycomb. Uh-huh. So at any rate, he was one of those. He was one that he was in charge of the transportation of the Japanese to these different points throughout the country where they were confined.
So he would transport Japanese Americans to the relocation camp?
Yes. And then he was in charge of the others, but he physically also went on these trips with them. And always his dream was to go overseas, and he never got to go. He just hated the thought he would never get to leave and go, and be sort of in the thick of it, you might say. And his boss was a colonel, but he depended on Dick for certain things, so Dick never got to go. Mm-hmm. And then he was, when the war ended, he came out of the service. He was discharged. And I remember that one day he was over there at the port of embarkation in Wilmington, and of course that was had a periphery around it, the barbed wire and so on, with a gate you had to go through, you had to identify yourself and so on. Mm-hmm. And he was in charge over here. Mm-hmm. And there were hundreds of military that he had his office and so on, and he was provost marshal is what I'm trying to think of. Mm-hmm. Provost marshal of Los Angeles. But so I went with him this last day when he was in the service, and then he is discharged. And previous to this, he bought his first civilian suit of clothes in several years. It didn't fit well, and Dick always likes to dress well. Mm-hmm. And as a matter of fact, when he was a young man, he worked to Neiman Marcus in Dallas, mm-hmm. Selling men's ties. So he understood about the correct way to dress and how you look nice and so on and so forth. So I went with him the one day, and he was discharged that day. He received his papers and said goodbye, and they had a little ceremony for him and so on. The next day, he just thought it would be fun to go back over there and just say hi to everybody. He had his civilian clothes, and I went with him. He couldn't get to the gate. His identification seat had been taken the day before, and he was no longer military. And it was one of the men that he was especially fond of an enlistment. And the young man was so embarrassed that he couldn't let Dick through. Mm-hmm. And that really shot him down. He just couldn't get over that. Mm-hmm. So Dick moved into my apartment with me.
Now, at what point were you married? How long did you
We were married in September 1946.
So was he still in the service in
1946? No, he'd been discharged, and he started to work for the Auto Club of Southern California.
So when you went with him for the discharge ceremony. Yes. And all that. That was before you were
before
married?
We were married.
Uh-huh. Yes. Were you engaged or anything then? Or just
yes.
Being...
Yes. We were going to be married.
Uh-huh.
And we were waiting for him. He wanted his job
mm-hmm.
and get kind of settled. And he wanted to be working and start getting a salary and so on. Well, meanwhile, I continued working.
Mm-hmm.
And by continuing to work, mm-hmm. then he was able to occupy the apartment, you see,
mm-hmm.
Even though he was a civilian and not military.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a kind of a special dispensation from the San Diego office so that I could continue working. But I made it rather clear that if this could not be the arrangement, I wouldn't be able to stay in the office anymore. So they agreed to it.
Mm-hmm.
And Dick was the only civilian,
mm-hmm.
Really, who lived in the project.
Mm-hmm.
So he worked in the area right here in Long Beach in his first office for the Auto Club.
Mm-hmm. So when did you start living here?
We were married in September 1946, yeah.
And so up to that time, though, you had been completely by yourself in that?
With Alice.
Apartment.
Yeah, and she moved out about a week before Dick moved in, you see.
Uh-huh. So you both remarried near the same time? Or?
No, Alice married after I did. She married a Navy chief,
mm-hmm.
and then they went back east to her home in Pennsylvania, where she came from.
Mm-hmm.
And they're still there. I still hear from Alice. Now, Alice now is about 73.
Mm-hmm.
And in those days, she was about 36, 37 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Time really goes on.
Mm-hmm.
So then, at any rate, Dick never, of course, was happy living in the project. In fact, he could hardly stand it. But they let me have an extra bedroom. They really... went overboard for me, that is the authorities.
Mm-hmm.
So we moved across the street from where I'd been living
mm-hmm.
After we were married, and they let us have another bedroom. So we had a two-bedroom apartment,
mm-hmm.
which was, and my rent, of course, was $13 a month,
mm-hmm.
$1 for water.
Mm-hmm.
And then Dick began, then his mother and stepfather came out from Dallas, and they relocated in the Pasadena area.
Mm-hmm.
And his mother was... she was for example, Dick was raised in an apartment
mm-hmm.
when he was a young boy, a large apartment in Dallas. His father was a salesman and a good one, and he was gone on the road. And Dick learned to play bridge when he was 6 years old
mm-hmm.
by standing watching them play bridge and his chin barely resting on the card table.
Mm-hmm.
And an excellent bridge player. He would go down to the dining room and order breakfast by himself. His mother was still in bed.
Mm-hmm.
And he had very nice friends and he's a very, very high-type man.
Mm-hmm.
So at any rate, this project living sort of got to him. But
was he older than you? Or was 18, he?
No, he was, Dick is a year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
No, 3 years older. 3 years older than
so,
I.
So how old were you when you
When I remarried, I married in, I was 33,
uh-huh.
mm-hmm, and Dick was almost 37.
Uh-huh. Had you ever been married before?
Yes,
uh-huh.
and divorced.
Uh-huh. So he had a previous marriage
yes.
and was divorced. Was he said his family lived in Dallas and that they were rather well off?
Well, I'd say rather affluent. In other words, they suspect they lived up their income to the hilt,
mm-hmm.
but they lived in the best apartment,
mm-hmm.
dressed with the nicest clothes, mixed with the best people,
mm-hmm.
and so they were used to a nice way of living.
Mm-hmm. Was it very common at that time to meet, say, a divorced man, or was
I don't think so.
Mm-hmm.
I frankly didn't know anybody else in that category, but
mm-hmm.
incidentally, I want to say one thing. The girl Val that introduced Dick and I, mm-hmm. she and her husband, he was a very handsome man, and she came from she had a college, in fact, I think she was a graduate of Hunter's College in the East,
mm-hmm.
and she met this student. He came from a very poor family, but very handsome. And at any rate, so in order for him to go to college, she worked they were married, but she worked as a salesperson in a dress shop.
Mm-hmm.
And she worked for several years and put him through. And then, of course, when he achieved his degree, then he was able to, he went in as an officer. Then the war coincidentally started.
Mm-hmm.
And so he then, he suddenly was a very handsome, popular officer. And they came out here. So then she no longer had to work. And had a lovely apartment down on Magnolia Avenue in Long Beach. And he met somebody else and divorced her.
Mm-hmm.
And my understanding is she never got over, never forgave him. I don't know what happened to her, but
mm-hmm.
I always thought, oh.
What a deal. Huh?
Yeah, what a deal.
Yeah. So, did you give any background on his first marriage?
Yes. Yeah, well, his mother, of course, knew. They'd had a large church wedding.
Mm-hmm.
And he married too young. He was only about 19.
Mm-hmm.
And then his father died.
Mm-hmm.
And they were left with nothing. I don't think his father even had insurance. They lived up their money to the income to the absolute limits.
Yeah.
They couldn't stay in the hotel. They moved to a small apartment. And my understanding, they almost had to occupy the same bed. It was so cramped and crowded.
Mm-hmm.
And they both had to go to work. So his mother went to, they both went to work at Neiman Marcus.
Mm-hmm.
Dick went to work in the haberdashery shop, and his mother sold dresses. And then his mother, a very attractive woman, and such flair and so much personality,
mm-hmm.
and she met somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And but Dick left the area and went to Detroit, East St. Louis. And a relative or a good friend, no, Dick's grandfather, years before, had bought some stock in a Ford agency in East St. Louis.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't pay a great deal, but he had a connection there, so he was offered a job by the manager of the of this particular place of business. So Dick went there
mm-hmm.
and sold cars or worked in the stock or did anything he could. And his salary was $16 a week. But he was able to buy a car, and being Dick, he went into a boarding house where there were a lot of people, a lot of activity, and just settled in and was just doing fine. And then he met Ethel.
Mm-hmm.
And she was a kind of a sickly girl. And they got married. And the first thing that happened, she got pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
And then she lost the baby. And then there was another pregnancy, and she lost that baby.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just sort of a nowhere situation. And then the war came along, and he came in, you see, and was given his officer's commission and transferred out here to the West Coast.
Mm-hmm.
So that was it.
Mm-hmm.
And
then he
divorced her, yeah.
And then he went to work in relocation of Japanese Americans?
That was part of his assignment as an Army officer.
And he had other duties?
Oh, yes, yes.
Did he ever talk to you about doing that? Or
you mean about the Japanese?
Yeah.
No, and you know, now that in class we've been talking about that.
Uh-huh.
And I wish, although it seems to me that Dick looked on it very much as the military thing to do.
Uh-huh.
This was his assignment,
uh-huh.
and what his personal private feelings must have been about these people.
Uh-huh.
I just sense that he wasn't terribly, you know, overly sympathetic or sentimental about it.
Mm-hmm.
But he's not a cruel man. So, but so I know he carried his orders out. But I do remember him saying that he requested not having to do it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So it may have got to him.
Mm-hmm. And you, sort of, when you met him then, was he not doing that anymore, or was he still?
No, this was, they started relocating almost after the war started.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't meet him to see until later
mm-hmm.
in the war.
So
this
so
was behind him. This is one of the things he told me about,
yeah.
One of his experiences.
So, when you met him, and by the time you were married, he was a civilian.
Yes, we married just a few months after that.
Did he ever say anything to you about your working? Or?
Oh, yes. I continued working. I had to, of course, work there to keep the apartment. But the main thing is, You remember I told you about my reaction years before during the Depression. The man that lived in our neighborhood who received a civil service pension mm-hmm. every month. And I think even then I must have thought how safe and secure working for the government might be, never dreaming I would ever have the opportunity. But when I started to work at the shipyard, and particularly when I was assigned the office position in the Navy, I knew I was there for keeps. Mm-hmm. And I knew that I had had to work until I was a certain age and so many years and so on. Mm-hmm. But I would personally have my own income. Mm-hmm. And you see, I remember back in the Depression, the very limited income, it was rough. Mm-hmm. And then Maxie only, he received such a small, and we always had to kind of scrape to get by. We managed. Mm-hmm. But there was, and I knew that he would in time, of course, receive a pension too, mm-hmm. you know, being in the military. So, but I had no intention of stopping civil service. I knew that right along. And then it was after that that I, the shipyard, well, towards about 1949, they began building tracks out in the Lakewood area. And on the way home from Dick worked up, in the Compton area at that time. And on the way home from Compton down to the project, he saw this building going on. And he started snooping around the area, and he wanted to buy a house. And of course, I thought that was impossible. It just didn't seem possible that I would ever participate in an endeavor where I would ever own a home. It just, and so he, Sundays, we started going out looking at houses. And we did this for weeks, every Sunday.
He was working at Autoclips?
Oh, yes, yeah.
And what was he doing there?
Oh, he was a, what do they call it, the people that check your, appraiser.
Adjuster,
mm-hmm. yes. He was an adjuster. Mm-hmm. And he started out, between us, we were making very, very good money. Mm-hmm. And but Dick, there was always every year a new car and new clothes for Dick. He always in the market. And I would sort of deny myself clothes because of the money. I wanted to see more money in the bank. Mm-hmm. And so I kind of played that. So I started, and then one day he talked about starting, wanting to buy a house. And so we did buy one, mm-hmm. Just not far from here. Mm-hmm. And we settled in, and and by this time I had transferred from the Navy Housing Project. Oh, yes, I know what happened. We bought the one house, mm-hmm. and we occupied it about a year or so, and our neighbors, they were also young people, and we liked them so much. We had a lot of fun with them. Mm-hmm. And so they sold their house. They just felt it was too much responsibility. And they moved down the Belmont Shore area, so we did too. And so we moved
just
down.
To stay with them?
It just seemed like a good idea. And so we sold the house and probably didn't make a dime on it, mm-hmm. and moved down the Belmont Shore area. And we lived in two locations there. And we just thought one might be, it was kind of a fun period in a way, I'd never lived in Belmont Shore or that type of an apartment, and I thought that was kind of a step up. And then Dick got the bug again to buy a house.
This wasn't a home, and then he just rented a place?
Rented apartments uh-huh. down there.
Was the shore similar to what it's like now? I mean, in terms of...
The shore then was probably the best it ever was. Mm-hmm. It was a wonderful place. Mm-hmm. And now it's nowhere. No, it was a wonderful place to live then, and of course the ocean and everything. But at any rate, Dick got the bug again to buy a house. So, by this time, I thought it might be a good idea. So I came out to the tract where I live now, and in those days, $25 would hold the place of your choice. And Mr. Saunders was the name of the salesman. So he went along with Dick and my silly game, and we picked out three houses, one after the other. We liked one. We decided we didn't want because of this or that. Then we would move the $25 to another house in the same area, and finally this one because it had the covered driveway and it has the fireplace. And so we put had the $25 shifted for the last time. Mr. Saunders went along with it, and so for $500 down, mm-hmm. we had the house.
Mm-hmm.
And I know. And so we moved out here, and then just about that time, the Navy shipyard closed down, and I lost my job. I was what they call RIFT, reduction in force. Mm-hmm. And I thought maybe I would never, you know, I didn't know if I'd ever go back to work for civil service.
This is in 53?
No, 1950.
50.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Now, when you were buying these homes, was that a mutual investment on both of you?
Oh, I'm sure we had $500 in the bank.
Uh-huh.
Probably. It was the last cent, but we had it.
Did you combine your income?
Yes.
Everything?
Yes. Uh-huh. Yeah. It went into a joint situation. Mm-hmm. And I would, part of the time, I would manage the banking and mm-hmm. writing the checks. Then Dick might for another 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
And we would change. We had a very a good understanding about the money.
Mm-hmm.
But Dick was... Have you ever heard the expression champagne pays for the beer income? That was sort of the way that it was, you see.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. But we moved into it. All around us, where I am now,
uh-huh.
we had wire fences around the backyard. The front was landscaped. The back, we had to landscape that ourselves. And we'd watch this house being built from the foundation.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'd come out almost every night after work and see what was happening. So we watched the foundation, and then the exterior walls go up, and then when they started putting them, and we were able to choose the outside color of the paint, and it was absolutely the thrill of a lifetime.
Mm-hmm. Now, this is just after you moved in here, though, that's when...
6 months. I was, and I reconciled then,
mm-hmm.
because civil service had closed down for all practical purposes. And I was tired. I'd worked for an awful long time.
Mm-hmm.
And here it gave me this wonderful opportunity to be home and to be in my own home and to sort of get things started. Now, let me see, there was one other thing. During the years that I was working, I had paid into a retirement fund.
Mm-hmm.
And I elected to take out the retirement because, as far as I knew, we'd never have civil service here again. Mm-hmm. Shipyard had closed down. So it was $1,400.
Mm-hmm.
And so we used it to buy drapes, carpeting, and some little goodies that were just awfully nice to have.
Mm-hmm.
And then 6 months after we moved in, the Korean War came along, and immediately everything went into action again.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went over, I received letters from the Civil Service Commission. There were job openings. There was one over at Terminal Island. I'd never worked there before. And in fact, they had three openings in the building. And I went over, and the first one I applied for, I was hired.
Mm-hmm.
And I stayed on that one until I retired.
And what was that position that you were in, I mean, when you went back to work
there? A GS-3.
Mm-hmm.
And then... with the war came along, they had an influx of waves of the female sailors.
Mm.
And they had something like 50 come into the barracks, and they actually didn't know where to assign them over there. They came in so suddenly and all in one draft. So I received a call from the military personnel office, and I was in this office by myself. And it was a great big office, and here I was. There were about three typewriters and me, and nobody was showing me what to do exactly, but this billet had to be filled.
Mm-hmm.
So I received a call, and they said, do you suppose you could, by any chance, would you like to have a wave over there to help you?
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, what in the world would she do? And then I remembered that there were some books that had, anyway, yes, there was something. So I said yes, and they sent me three. So that's when I became a supervisor.
Mm.
No fault of my own. And then the office developed,
uh-huh.
and I worked with it. I and nobody ever... I was in the port control office, and on that side of the hall, across the hall, was practically the center of activity. They're the ones that assigned the ship's berths when they came in.
Mm-hmm.
Saw that they had oil and that they had what they called potable water. It was a very, very busy office with all men. Oh, they had a female secretary over there.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just, it was busy. And on my side of the hall, we were of that department. But
now, what was your department called?
Fleet Support Office.
Fleet Support Office.
Yes. Uh-huh. And so the port control officer, in name, he was my boss, but he never came over.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't want to be bothered. Yeah, he wanted to know the work went smoothly. He didn't care especially what we did, as long as, you know. And so I just, anyway.
You, what were you going to say?
Well, I worked for this office. I had more people come in. I even had an officer come in there and work with us. And we had to get more phones. We there were just different functions that we developed.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, I had my job reclassified. I had to rewrite the whole position, and so I got my 4.
Mm-hmm.
And then 6 months later, I rewrote it again with added responsibility, and I got my 5.
Mm-hmm.
And about 3 years after that, with more responsibility, I got my 6.
Mm-hmm.
And on that position, I was able to retire, you see.
Mm-hmm. So how long did you work then?
Okay, over there, I went in 1950,
mm-hmm.
and I retired in 1973. I was 23 years there.
So that's quite a